Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. By the way, you can live stream us over the internet. LarryKudlowShow.com, LarryKudlowShow.com. Plays all across the country, around the world, throughout the solar system, including the Milky Way. And during the week, you can get us on Fox Business Network, FBN. The name of the show is Kudlow, and it plays every day 4 to 5 p.m., 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't make it at 4 for some reason, just text your favorite 9-year-old, and she will show you how to DVR the show. All right, let's do some stock market work. Week, another good week in stocks. Dow's up 331. S&P 500 up 20. S&P 500 year-to-date up 10%. We've got Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial. We've got Jim LeCamp, Senior VP for Investments at Morgan Stanley. Gentlemen, welcome back. Profits are the mother's milk of stocks. I say that because we had a GDP report that shows how strong profits were. Now, that's for the fourth quarter. I know, but the numbers coming in the first quarter for the S&P 500 look pretty good, which suggests to me that this is not a bubble. Jeff Kilberg, I'll start with you on that point.
I'm not going to disagree with you, Larry. It's not a bubble. However, I've been trading these markets not as long as you have, but the fact that we've seen a parabolic move in equity since November, it's been a straight-up move after we saw a little bit of profit-taking, if you remember, in Q3 of last year. So this moment in time with the VIX at 13, and we're seeing potentially this AI theme, not crack by any means, but we see some profit-taking in NVIDIA and some of the bigger names. I think there's an opportunity for us to back and fill. If I look technically, Larry, on a chart at 49.50 in the S&P 500, it seems like we're going to be destined to go back there and put in some volume because this move has really seen a lot of that cash on the sideline chasing it higher. And all those bears that we heard in 22, 23 are now switching bullish. And that sits a little bit unsettling for this optimistic, cautious optimism that I still have for the market.
Yeah, there are no bears.
They're gone.
The bears have hibernated. You're right. Jim LeCamp, it's true. You can't find a bear. That's probably not a good sign short run, but what do you think?
Well, look, the market, the big complaint about the market rally was how narrow it was, but the advanced decline lines have improved markedly. The mid-cap index has broken out. The small cap index is threatening to break out. It's right on the verge of a breakout. So technically, there's nothing not to like. But fundamentally, there are some concerns out there that we should be mindful of. And we haven't had a correction for a long time. So a 10% correction here would be very healthy and normal. But here's the thing. Interest rates may not do what Wall Street expects them to do. And part of this rally has been based on the notion that the Fed was going to cut rates. But inflation, that demon has not been slayed yet. Look at commodity prices. Cocoa, copper, crude, the commodity index itself. Then look at gold, etc. You're seeing input prices start to rise from commodity prices. Wages have risen as well. I talked to a restaurateur the other day, and I was shocked when he told me how much he had to pay his busboy. And then it moves up from there, and how much a sandwich costs at his shop now. So I think we are going to have to face the reality that the Fed may not be able to cut rates, or they may not be able to cut rates to the tune that the market has expected. So We have some warning signs out there, but technically the market still looks good. There's no reason to sell here. I do agree with Jeff that the sentiment has gotten too frothy, and that's usually when you get a correction, for anything people expected.
Yeah, if I could jump in real quick, Larry, what's interesting, Jim brings up a great point. There's the consumer strength. We're having the data. We're going to see earnings season come up in 2 weeks. But the one thing that the market was so sensitive to was the Fed and their interest rate. They talked about six cuts. This is just 6 months ago. They were talking about six cuts in 2024. Now we're down to three. Now seemingly we're down to one, and there's no longer a sensitivity. So the fact that we rallied off of those six potential quarter basis point cuts, and now we're still up elevated here, it feels like there's a little bit of something coming. It's been over 100 days since the S&P 500 has had a 2% pullback. So I got beaten up, if you remember, last year for being cautiously optimistic. But now here I am trying to protect profits because I'm concerned there's going to be a little bit of a staircase up and an elevator down.
Well, I have no idea what the market's going to do in the short run. But if you go back 6 months, and all these interest rate cuts built into the market didn't happen, but the market went up anyway. What does that tell you?
Yes.
Tells me
profit.
It was, yes. Thank you, Jim. So smart. Really, thank you.
It's not just profit.
It's a wonderful thing to hear.
It's excess liquidity.
Someone that understands profits, Jeff Kilburg. Very nice. I'm not letting go of this.
I want to take a little credit there. I'm actually the one that just said profits there. But come on.
Yeah, he is. But it's not just profits. There's excess liquidity in the system that has typically been associated with higher markets. And there's a tremendous amount of money printing that's gone on. We were going to have to take on another $1.2 trillion just to get us to September. So the financial conditions are really pretty favorable for stocks. So it's not just profits, it's also financial conditions.
Janet Yellen is the biggest record-breaking bond salesman in the history of bonds. Janet Yellen. I'm sorry, bond saleswoman. I don't want it. Bond salesperson. I want to get that. Did you guys, did you buy Trump Media, Jeff Kilburg?
You know, we did dabble a little bit. It was nice to see it pop up, and it's sensational. I think there's momentum there. And you know, I've always been attracted to momentum. So DJT, it's going to move higher. We're going to find some revenue, hopefully, this year to support that move higher. But yes, there's momentum.
You think he'll get revenues if he's president on his Truth Social? I would bet he would. Just kidding, but he's going to do very well. I got to ask you the same question. Jim LeCamp, did you buy Truth Social? Trump Media?
No, I saw where it opened, I thought, well, there's a big part of the move there already. And so I did not buy that.
But it takes a while.
And look, the valuation is really pretty high. I get it. It's going to be a meme type stock, a sexy go-go type stock. And I'm not averse to trading those kind of stocks. This has been a great market for trading momentum, but when I saw where they opened and it closed down 4.25 on Friday, so when I saw where it opened, I thought, okay, let me let this settle in a little bit.
But you have to realize that people bought Reddit the week before that IPO, and they'll make money. So I don't know if you can really have an input into being profitability to buying momentum or IPO.
Bezos didn't make money for 10 years.
That's right.
He didn't make money for 10 years. I remember Jim Cramer and I interviewed him on our old CNBC show many years ago. It was his first quarter of profits, and it was about 10 years since he started the company. So just, you know, you never know about these things.
You very likely have a very natural seller in DJT. I think we all know who that's going to be.
Right. The key to understanding
one
that.
One of our largest shareholders needs a bunch of money.
The key is understanding Letitia James and Judge Engoron. Oh, my God. That's what it's come down to. So, all right. So if we dismiss the Fed's not going to cut rates in my lifetime. Is that about right?
I think they do it in June. They're going to be one and done. It's a political year. How do they avoid not cutting?
But if they do cut, and it is a political year, all hell's going to break loose, because I can think of somebody that'll bash them for juicing the economy in favor of Joe Biden. That puts them in a pickle.
Well, let's not forget, Paul Volcker paused when Jimmy Carter was running for re-election, and that pause didn't help things. That pause helped to re-accelerate inflation into the first year or two of Ronald Reagan's presidency. So I think that's a very, especially with crude and all these other prices and home prices being still very, very unaffordable. Again, wages, rents, et cetera, being high. I think it's a very dangerous move for the Fed to be cutting here with inflation not being solved yet.
You know, inflation's been inching up in the last few months. And the unemployment rate is at full employment. I mean, you're still below 4%. I don't see how the Fed can justify rate cuts when you're at full employment and the inflation rate is still above their target, which is an interesting point. Kilberg, is the Fed going to keep their 2% target? That's part of the politics here.
Well, Larry, I mean, they've moved that 2% target. They've moved the goalposts repeatedly over the last decade. So I think they're going to continue to move the goalposts. So I think the answer is no. They're going to try and potentially cut rates without achieving the 2% target, which, to Jim's point, is dangerous. And I think there is some danger. And I think the biggest risk to the market, because we know the consumer's strong, we know earnings season is going to continue to be better than expected, but the biggest risk to the market is a Fed policy mishap. And I think if you look at market participants, we're giving the Fed credibility when they deserve zero. Go back to the fall of 2021, and Fed Chairman Powell was talking about inflation being transitory. And then we saw CPI 6 months later pop up over 9%. So I think that's where there's inherent risk in the market, and I think that's where there's potentially complacency with the VIX at 13.
Well, so the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So therefore, they do nothing. They just do nothing. There's no reason to do something, so they do nothing. That's how the Fed
wins. I think it would be, to your point, Larry, I think it would be viewed at this point as a purely political move and nothing else because of those numbers. And I got to tell you, you've mentioned the jobs market, but the BLS, and it has one too many letters in its acronym, but the BLS has revised its jobs figures.
These are hardworking bureaucrats. These are hardworking, honest bureaucrats.
Okay, well, either their metrics are wrong or they're lying because they've had to revise those numbers down, 19 months in a row? They revised the stated jobs numbers down by over a million for 2023. And the private housing payroll numbers are at their widest divergence ever from the stated numbers. So I don't know what's going on with the jobs market other than, A, it's a lot of part-time jobs, and, B, the numbers that we're being shown aren't real.
How about C, it's all illegal immigrants? And they don't answer the phone. When the BLS calls, they're not answering the phone.
And how disingenuous is it when you raise minimum wage, but you bring in millions of people who will work for less than that?
So what does that tell you? You got a lot of people working at low wages. A lot of people working. Now, whatever the political demerits of that, and there are many demerits of that, from a Fed policy standpoint, it's almost ideal. Think about that for a minute. You're getting more people working at lower wages. It's not good. It's not good. But nonetheless, from the Fed standpoint, they probably have to stand pat.
And what's their reaction? They're going to slow down their quantitative tightening. They're going to start decreasing. Remember, they're taking $95 billion off every month. They're going to reduce that treasury roll off and reinvest. So what are they going to do to react to that, Larry? They're going to keep their balance sheet swollen above $7 trillion.
Well, we're going to take a break, but that is an interesting point. Some of the money out from the pandemic, but compared to where they were pre-pandemic, there's a lot of money in the system. That is true. There's a lot of liquidity in the system still. All right, we'll take a quick break. Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial. Jim LeCamp, Senior VP Investments at Morgan Stanley. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking stocks with Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial, and Jim LeCamp, Senior VP Investments at Morgan Stanley. Jim LeCamp, what's the economic outlook for this year? I notice off of a very strong second half of last year, we had new numbers out. They were revised, up slightly. The third quarter was 3.4. The third quarter was 4.9. The fourth quarter, 3.4. So strong numbers. GDP now for the first quarter is 2.3. And we've been sitting around talking about profits. What's your outlook for the economy? Does it get slower? Or does it stay in the twos or what?
I think it stays in the twos, and I think it's being held up by government spending, which is part of GDP and probably shouldn't be part of GDP. But I think because of all the spending projects that we have going on, government spending, infrastructure, that this economy is better than it otherwise would be. And I think that's why we just saw a streak that just ended of leading economic indicators down 20 months in a row, just ended with a fairly positive print. And I think the only reason we have avoided recession, because this has never happened outside of a recession, I think the only reason we avoided a recession is government spending. But I got to tell you, government spending has a negative multiplier. The last $1 trillion we got of growth cost us $1.5 trillion. So it's really not good for the long run, and I think we're going to slowly crawl towards stall speed. Maybe not recession, but stall speed.
Yeah, that's a good point, by the way, the negative multiplier point. That's a good point. That's an empirically proven point, which is interesting. Jeff Kilberg, I want to get your take on the economy and also on inflation, just to come back to that. You got the PCE numbers out this past week through February. So here's the three-month change, PCE deflator 3.4, the core deflator 3.5, and then Jay Powell's supposedly new favorite, core services ex housing 4.5. Every one of those is above the 2%. So is inflation creeping back up, and will that subtract from real growth?
I think the quick answer is that we don't have a comprehensive set of data, because there have been a couple outliers showing, specifically in CPI, that we did have a little bit of uptick. But the overall trajectory, Larry, continues to be lower. But they're nowhere near their goal. And it's just fascinating to me that they talk about their stated goal of 2% target for inflation. And now they're considering, if you look at the CME FedWatch tool, there's a very high probability, 65%, that they are going to cut rates in June. So I think the Fed's reaction to the whole economy is interesting, because they're surprised in the consumer strength. And the strength of the consumer has surprised everyone, but we continue to see the consumer strength here. And that's going to be, once again, representative, I think, in earnings season. But I think we have the ability to watch markets move higher, but it's not going to be a straight line, Larry. As you know, nothing is linear.
So that CME tool has been wrong, for the last 100 years, 200 years, 300 years? Jeff Kilberg, Jim LeCamp, happy Easter, gentlemen. Thank you ever so much. Folks, we're going to take a quick break and do some money in politics with Alex Marlowe and Steve Moore.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.